Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
But yeah, isn't it a big privilege to learn and really just be able to receive what the Holy Spirit is busy doing? And I just wanna add to what has been said. And let's just, before we go again, let's just close our eyes and let's just pray for the service as well. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we just really want to ask you to come and protect, Lord, our thoughts. Yeah, Lord, and help us, to not justify ourselves, Lord, but to be willing, Lord, to do what you call us to do. As we enter this time of Titus 2, where we focus on devoting ourselves to things, Lord, help us to truly devote ourselves to what you are calling us for. Now, Jesus, we love you, and we pray that at the end of this morning, Lord, we will look more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So, we will continue in Titus 2, and that is our theme, dedicated older women. So, on that note, starting with that, I would just like to say that it is really not only for women. There's really some beautiful universal truths in today's sermon. And I want you, if you are a man today, and even if you are a younger woman, we can learn a lot from this. I learned so much this week, and obviously it's even daunting for me, having to come and speak about older women. But praise the Lord for His Word, and that we can really learn from it. So we will look at what Paul is saying to Titus in regards with dedicated older women, or older women in general. If you were here 2 weeks ago, Brown shared a bit about older men. And I think we had this question, what is an older man? I think he asked you as well. But in short, it is someone that have raised children, and their children is about to get out of the house. Amen. And just something to think about is, in those days, there weren't schools as in our days and universities as in our days. So people had children at young ages, at 15, 16, 17 years old, and they were grandmas at 35. So it's not about the age necessarily, but it is about, being able, saying, I've been there and I've done that. You can relate with younger people. But as well, it has nothing to do with character, and we'll share that as well. Age has never nothing to do with character. And it does also mean that the older women and the younger women that are mature can also, they also have this role to play, that we see here. So we saw in chapter 1 a lot of things we needed to avoid. I don't know if you remembered, we spoke about insubordinate people, empty talkers, deceivers, and we need to avoid those. We need to avoid those myths. We need to avoid those speculations. And then we saw in chapter 2, Paul saying to Titus, we should devote ourselves to sound doctrine once again. And then he started off by older men, and then going to older women. And he's making a list of things that we need to devote ourselves to, which Brown also shared a while ago. Rather to avoid, we turn our focus. Now, what should we devote ourselves to? And we will also always get this, older and younger. And there's a specific reason why it's a theme in the Bible, because they are different. Older and younger people are different. Even if it's the same you, you change, and there's certain things that change. And I think the most important thing we should remember is that both has a crucial role to play. Amen. You know, the older people in general, they have the experience, they have the wisdom, but they lack often the energy or the enthusiasm, where that is what the younger brings. Amen. And we need both. And there will always be some, a bit of a tension, maybe, but it's a healthy tension. We should use that tension and live together in harmony to be a beautiful church, to be a beautiful bride. Okay, both have a lot to bring. And remember that, you know, we are fundamentally based community, a community-based church, which Brown also shares a lot, which is important because we as men, you know, listening today at Dedicated Older Women, we need to be switched on. There's a lot of women in our lives that we have input to. Also, younger women, you are busy growing. I think we are a younger church in general. So a lot of the younger women is doing all the women jobs. Okay, so it's important for us to also listen, and everyone listen, so that we, you know, can also just help one another. You know, even if you see this, if I am a man and there is a woman in my life, not only my wife, of course my wife as well, but other women, we should be leading them to this place of what older women should do. So let me just read for us. We are still in the introduction, but I want you guys just to have a bit of a context of what I am saying. So we'll start at verse 1. We will only look at verses 3 to 4 actually today, but we will read from verse 1 to 5. So from verse 1 it says, you know, Paul saying to Titus, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine." Then it goes over to older men. It says, "Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." So we'll only look at those verses 3 and 4, which says women are to be, older women are to be, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. So this word doctrine in the beginning in verse 1, teach what accords with sound doctrine, is the same Greek word Paul used in Timothy for the word teaching. So doctrine and teaching is quite the same. And Greek is very, there's so many words that mean so many things. So I try to just boil it down to something like this, but it's rather saying we train them by showing them. Okay, so when we read that sound doctrine, it's a way of showing. Okay, it's a way of actually practically living out the gospel. So older women, when we see these things, we saw verse 1, sound doctrine, it's a way of showing. It goes to older men, naming a few things that older men should be showing. Okay, and the same with older women, these are things that we need to be showing the younger ones, and the other people, you know, other people in church. At the end it also says, so that the word of God may not be reviled. It's a kind of lifestyle that honors God's word. Amen. It's a kind of lifestyle that shows to the outside world, wow, you know, this is the church, Jesus. And in older women, I always think of this, you know, in a household, they are the ones that care. They are the ones that, you know, play such a large role in a household. If we look at a household, it's often the women that you can see. And it's so important that we, you know, share light to those for the outside world, that we don't only live a hypocritical lifestyle saying, we want to do this, but we don't do this. So almost asking the question constantly, do we practice, you know, what we preach? Do we practice what the Word of God says? I just want us to keep that in mind. Then there's two wrong views of women, of course, you know, that the enemy likes to bring. The one is the feminist, you know, group of people, which constantly, you know, wants to rebel, you know, against men, actually believing the lie, you know, that they are not enough, as if men are enough. We are also not enough. You know? We are equal, you know, but different. Okay, and it's important. This first wrong way of view, both all the wrong ways of viewing, is mostly out of hurt. You know, we experience through life. So especially the feminist movement, and then secondly, we have this movement of or just this women that feel that they are of no worth. We've seen it. I think about a century ago, where women, you know, had no rights and they were really pressed, underpressed with everything they did. So we have this two: the one wants to be more, and the one just accepts, you know, they accepts this lie that they are not enough. Okay, that's the wrong ways. Okay, luckily for us, Jesus came and He redeemed it, and we can now experience healing. But both of these wrong views come out of a place of hurt, maybe shame. I mean, the first lie that we see in the Bible, you know, is Satan saying to Eve that, eat this apple, you'll be like God. And what does Eve do? She believes this lie. So what does she do then? She eats the apple. She believes that she's not enough. She believes that there is something more. And she eats the apple because she wants something more. And often we see that out of that place of, I need to be more, I'm not accepted. This counts for men as well. Amen. It's not only for women. But out of that place of hurt, out of I need to be more, out of a lack of acceptance, we then sin. We then eat the apple. And that's what Paul is saying. You know, when there's hurt in our lives, we then slander. We then drink much wine, as Paul is warning Titus to not do. We need to have a heart of acceptance. Then, of course, there's the right way. Amen. The way of redemption, the way that Jesus brought, the way that God intended church to be, man and husband and woman and men separately. And that means that they are equal. Now, we are equal but different in function. And women has an irreplaceable role in the church. Amen. And it is so important. So let's just read those that verses again, and then we'll jump into the details. So it says, all the women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. And keep in mind that verse 1 that we did not read now, but it's a practical outflow. I mean, do you practice what you preach? And before I start and jump into this, and I just want to mention it again, maybe some of you may missed it or so, but women, you have a very unique and special role in the church. I want you to know that, and I want you to believe that, okay? Imagine we have only a church with only men. It will be quite interesting. But it will be not God's design. Amen? And therefore, you need to bring that role. You need to bring that design. You need to bring that gift. Amen? It is really crucial. You bring something that men cannot bring. Okay? It's also important. Okay? You are the feminine side of God, also created in His image. I think often, I don't know, women can believe the lie that they are not entirely created in God's image. They are entirely created in God's image. Amen? So coming back to what the text says in verse 3, it says all the women likewise ought to be reverent. So that's quite a big word, you know, reverent. What is that? Reverent in behavior. So the word reverent, also translated to English from the Greek, is a temple-fitting behavior. Someone that works in the temple. Someone that's sacred. Someone that's holy. You know, also easy to see that it is a practical outflow. If I look at that woman, I must be like, wow, she loves God. Now, she loves Jesus. And is that true for you this morning? Now, when people is around you, do you inspire them to love God more? Especially if you are older women. And I just want to say as well, this is obviously for men as well. It's universal. But this is the case. You know, Paul is writing to Titus for that church. And we can apply it 100% to our church today. So it is very important. It is written to older women. But we can definitely all learn from it. Amen. A woman that fears God and lives in His presence. Someone that when we speak with them, they give glory to God. When we speak with them, they just keep on speaking about the Lord and His goodness. And when I enter out of that conversation, I always almost feel like, yo, I need to be more like Jesus. I need to do more for Jesus. That is someone that has reverence, yeah, that has a reverent behavior. Someone that loves Jesus. There's a song that me and my wife loves to listen, and it convicts me every time. The words goes like this. There's one of the verses that says this. Let my children tell their children, let this be their memory, that all my treasure was in heaven, and Jesus, you meant everything to me. So let my children tell their children that Grandpa, wow, his treasure was in heaven, and he loved Jesus. Wow. Is that what your children is saying about you this morning? You know, is that what people see? And that it always convicts me. I'm just like, I don't think so. I hope so. But I don't want them even to think, yo, Maria, he was good in cycling. I don't even want them to think that. I want them to think he loved Jesus. And is that the truth? Is that the truth about your life this morning? A reverent woman, older woman, is someone that prays. Amen. The word pray, the essence of the word prayer, means to trust in God. When we pray, we say in essence, we cannot, but you can. Therefore, I pray. Therefore, I put my trust in you, Jesus. You as an older woman, do you pray for people? Or do you only give counsel? That is good. We must give counsel. But do you pray a lot? Do you give God the glory? He cannot, Jesus, but you can. Do you live a reverent lifestyle? Even if you are a younger woman, is this true about you? Even if you are a man today, now, is that true about your life? Then we see, for me, it's a big word, not slanderous. We just saw it so many times. It almost feels to me every time I'm here, I speak something about gossiping and slandering. And I actually, when I prepared, I was feeling to just say something short and just carry on, you know. And God said to me, "Nope, you need to pack it out. You need to pack it out this morning." So I'm going to say a lot of things about slandering this morning, and but I want you to hear my heart, and I also want you to really guard your heart, because everything we do flow from it. Amen. Everything, slander is one of the things that flow from our heart. Okay, so it happens so quickly. If you are a reverent woman, you should be the one when there's slander, so just to say what slander and gossip is, just a definition for those who are unsure, it is when we speak down on someone. If me and Jan are here and we say, we speak about Renier, we say that he has done wrong things about us, we slander him. You know, if it's negative, if it's upbuilding, it's good. But if we slander him, if we say bad things about him, we slander him. And there's an important thing that I want us to just be reminded at, and it's called third-party offenses. Who of you have heard about it? But it's called when Jan is here, and me and Jan, I tell Jan that Renier has done something really bad to me. Then Jan is now influenced. He's now the third party. Now Jan is angry at Renier. Now I go to Renier and I chat to Renier and we make up. We are okay. I forgave him. But Jan is still angry at Renier. And this is what happens. Jan now goes and he tells other people, because Jan is an immature guy. He tells other people about Renier and that he's not a good guy. Are you with me? It's a third-party offense, and it's God hates it. Okay, we should protect our church. We should build our church. The right thing to do, if I speak to Jan about Renier, is we should come to agreement how we are going to approach Renier. Jan, if Jan is a mature guy, he should be saying to me, Maria, you have some unforgiveness in your heart towards Renier. You need to forgive him, and you need to let him go. Amen. We can forgive people and not let them go. We can say we forgive them, but we still hold on to the grudge. Now we need to do both. We need to forgive them physically and let them go. And then we need to go and speak to those people. Amen. Otherwise, it's slander. If I speak wrong about someone and I do not go to that someone else, we slander. Okay, and it's breaking down the kingdom. If you slander someone, you are helping the devil. I want you to think about that. If you slander someone, you are helping the devil building his kingdom. We break down the church. There's something that I just felt I should share in light of women. There's two times Paul speaks in the Bible about women and then speaking about slandering and gossiping. Now, I'm not saying that it's not a universal issue. It's definitely a universal issue. We as men, we struggle with it as well. But I thought about it, and there is something beautiful God gave to women. They have this ability to share emotion and share deep relationship things very quickly. Amen? Which make them beautiful, because they can also receive amazing healing through that. And it's needed, because they are also often deep emotionally wounded. So they need that sharing, and they need Jesus in their conversations to heal. But often it can get unhealthy. So often, and I want to use this example, if I have a very good relationship with, let's say I was a woman and I have a friend, often we build this relationship. And often we then become anxious about losing this relationship. Amen? Something that will help you to think about this is, if your best friend wants to have other friends and you don't like it, it's a problem. If your best friend wants to have other friends and you don't like it, it's unhealthy. Are you with me? That is what brews slander. Okay, if I have a relationship with someone and I'm anxious about losing this relationship, I will slander quickly. Are you with me? I want you to think deep in your hearts. It's difficult. It's difficult for me. It will be difficult for every one of us. But it must get out. Amen? It's from the devil. And I don't want to help the devil. Amen? If we don't have a dependency relationship on Jesus, we will seek a relationship with someone else that is unhealthy. Okay, secondly, besides Jesus or God and having a relationship with Him, our spouse is the next one. With that relationship, if that relationship is not healthy, we will seek it somewhere else. Amen? It is an unhealthy relationship if it's not, if you don't really guard your heart. Amen? Those emotional wounds, that emotional things, yes, there's room, especially if you are single, there's definitely room for those relationships. But you need to keep a lid on it. Amen? And make sure, just guard your heart. If there's a tendency to slander, forgive. Okay? Forgive. Slander roots from unforgiveness. Even if it's something small, we take offense, what happens in our hearts? We have unforgiveness. Immediately we have unforgiveness. We need to forgive and let go. Because if we don't forgive and we speak to someone and that name pops up, we're like, ugh. You don't even have to say something in a conversation for me to see that you don't like that person. It's bad. It's not good. It's a bad fruit. Okay? So if you're in a relationship and that name pops up that you don't like, you need to watch your facial expression and you need to guard your heart and you need to know that you need to forgive and you need to go to that person. Are you with me? It's a beautiful thing. If we do that, we will be a beautiful church. Amen. Okay. So the first thing it roots from is unforgiveness, and the second thing it roots from is a passiveness in our calling. I know I don't have any extra notes or things like that, but it's unforgiveness and a passiveness to do what God calls us to do. If we have a passiveness in doing what God calls us to do, it's easier for us to have that brewing pot of slander. Okay. So it's important to do what God calls us to do. We are to build the church, not break it down. So all the women, obviously it speaks to you, but it speaks to all of us. Amen. Make sure your hearts are pure. Okay, next. We'll go quicker from here. Then it says, Not slaves to much wine. So all the women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. Okay, and obviously it's specifically written, obviously, to all the women. And I thought, why is it written to all the women in those days? Oh, it can be when your children are out of the house and now it's only you and your spouse and you don't have a good relationship with them, you feel lonely. You have depression. Maybe there's pains coming in when you are older. What do you divert to? To alcohol. Okay, that's a possibility. This is, once again, it's a universal issue. It's not only older women that struggles with this, but it also roots out of pain. It also roots from wrong places. You know, seeking things that are not from God. If we don't have that relationship with God, if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, these things, it's a brewing pot for slandering and drinking. Okay. And obviously, if you sit by yourself and you're like, you know, okay, when is getting drunk? You know, how much drinks can I drink? Okay, that's the wrong question to ask, please. Don't ask that question. Ask God, how holy can I be? What does God want from me? Amen. How does he want me to use alcohol then? Maybe it's none. Okay, it's an option. Okay, it's there. Consider it. I'm not saying you may not drink anything. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But ask the Lord, how does it look like? Ephesians 5 says, rather be filled with the Spirit than to be filled with wine. Relying on God more than we face our challenges. Relying on God when we face challenges. Amen. Not relying on friends or drinking. Okay. So that brings us to our first point. And it says all the women are to set an example for others. When we think of reverence, not slandering, not addicted to much wine, They are an example for others. For the outside world, I almost think of it as an evangelistic approach. You know, if you live your life in reverence, people want to ask, where did you get that? I want that. That is beautiful. And are you setting an example this morning for others to love Jesus? Whether you are an older woman, a younger woman, a man, when it comes to loving Jesus, serving His church, and praying for people, is that you? Okay, let's go to almost at verse 4. It says, they are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. They are to teach what is good. I think we, in 1 Timothy 3, we spoke about, you know, men are the ones teaching. And often we may feel, I don't want to say we as women. If I say that today, it's not what I mean. You know what I mean, eh? We saw in 1 Timothy 3, you know, it speaks of elders, you know, being able to teach. And often women may feel like, do I have no area for teaching then? Definitely not. Okay, you have an area of teaching. You may teach. They ought to teach what is good. They ought to teach the younger women. Amen? The younger women in the church, other women in church. They ought to teach their children and grandchildren. We see that in 2 Timothy 1. Verse 5, teaching the children and grandchildren and the other women in church, especially the women that are new to the faith. I mean, imagine a new person, new convert in church. They don't know how to be a godly spouse. They don't know how to be a godly servant in church. They don't even know how to, in a godly way, raise their children. They need help. Amen. And yes, there will be younger women in a sense also helping with that. But it is all the women's responsibility. Amen. And the responsibility for initiating these relationships between younger and older and mentoring is both. Hey, younger women today, I want to say to you, do you have someone that is sowing into your life, mentoring you? They've been there, they've done that. Amen. Go to them, go ask them. If you are older women and you see a lack in younger women, are you busy sowing into their lives? Is there a name that pops up if I say this? There needs to be. Younger women should reach out, you know, when it comes to marriage, parenting, cooking, cleaning, hospitality, everything can be done in a godly and an ungodly manner. It's important to sow into their lives. These mentoring relationships are crucial for every church. And interestingly, it says, you know, older women should train younger women. Train younger women. It's not only teaching them, but training them. And the difference, once again, is to practically do it. Show them how does it work. You know, if it says there's a lot of things we're going to discuss next week about younger women, maybe we're going to go to younger men as well, but there's a list of things, and when we want to train someone, we need to do it ourselves. Amen? So if you are an older person, an older woman this morning, the one that we will focus on today is, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. Which means that you need to love your husband and children in a way that younger women can look up to you and be like, wow, I want to learn from that. That what you have, I want that. And then we teach them and we show them. And definitely, like I said in the beginning, more mature women may definitely help less mature women as well. It's not only you need to be older than me for me to listen to you, okay? We should always, doesn't matter how old you are, have a heart of just responsiveness, of just learning, teachability. It's learning of what can I learn more to love Jesus more. That's the heart of a reverent woman. That's the heart of a reverent person. Okay. Always be teachable. Always be learning. And I think it's specifically said, husbands and children, because in those days, you know, men also had more than one wife. Now, and also there were a lot of concubines, which is a bijvrouw. They had bijvrouwens. They had arranged marriages. But God says, love your wife. Saying to the wives, love your husband. Not that easy when it's arranged. You know, it's something that we decide. It's not always automatic. We are very privileged today to choose and choose one. That's good. But love is not always automatic, so we need to grow in this friendship type of love. This love it speaks of is a friendship type of love. Are you as an older woman also creating a place of safety for your husband and your children? Place where they want to be. This love, this friendship love, it comes from time together, spending time together with your husband. So I'm speaking here to the men as well. Now you need to spend time with your wife. I'm saying that to myself as well. So these often unhealthy relationships we get, where women has an unhealthy relationship with one another, it often comes from not spending the time you should with your husband, amen, and having that crucial conversations with your husband. And everything just bad flows from it then. So our second point this morning, we are basically ending off. It's saying all the women are to teach and train younger women. And we will build on this point next week. There's a lot of things younger women should then do. But the point for us this morning is, are you teaching someone? And are you being trained by someone this morning? Do you have someone that speaks into your life that when you slander, they are like, don't do that? You know, when you have sin in your life, they come and they tell you the sin in your life. Remember, we are also very smart. When we slander, we go to people that won't listen, that won't say to us those things. We are very smart. So I want to encourage you, to don't do it, first place. But in the second place, choose someone to mentor you that says those things in your life. If you remember the hammer and the bail, yeah. It's important. Those people are important. And I want you this morning to write down a name. You don't need to write if you don't have a pen with you, but just have someone in mind that you would like to train, and also someone you want to be trained by. I need you to think of someone. And I need you to have a discussion with that person and say, I need help, or I want to help. If they don't want help, then that's okay. Let's pray that they will. But let's have someone in mind that we want to train and that we want to be trained by. The same for men, okay? 100%. Okay, so, we can go to, thank you, go to those points. So, as we look at those points, men or women, are you living a reverent life? Now, are you living a life, just to quickly wrap up, you're living a life that's where people look up to you. They're like, wow, you really love Jesus. Do you do that? And if not, in what areas can you grow then this morning? And then secondly, are you currently training someone and being trained by someone? I want you just there where you are. Just turn to someone, even if it's someone you are here with. Name them those two names and just give them an area they can pray for you where you can live more in reverence. Amen? So let's do that. Let's just turn to someone. If you are done, you are welcome to to go and grab a coffee there at the back. Please turn to someone and pray for them. Can I just pray for us before we pray? Sorry. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are so good, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to get those names, Lord. But we pray that those names will be from you, Lord, the ones that we need to train and also the ones we need to be trained by, Lord. Yeah, Lord, we pray for this area, Lord, of all the women and things we can all grow in, Lord. We pray against slander in our church, and I just want to pray over the whole Secunda against this thing, Lord. And yeah, we pray, Lord, that we will grow to look more like you. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for your work on the cross. Pray for beautiful relationships, Lord, that spring out of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. If you are done, you are welcome to enjoy the day.